Good day, Santa Fe, New Mexico. This is a special broadcast of the Health Para Todos program on KSWV Radio, Que Suave Radio, and I am Larry Martinez, your host for today's program. And we have a wonderful guest today that we are going to be interviewing, but let me first remind our listeners that Health Para Todos is brought to you by Christa St. Vincent Regional Medical Center and the Conalma Foundation. And it can be heard on AM radio at 810 on your AM dial, 99.9 on your FM dial, and can be streamed at kswvradio.com on the internet. So we do have as a guest today a person who's been on our program before. She's done a wonderful job along with her department in getting information out to people, and we felt it was very appropriate to revisit some of the issues that are facing people who've got questions. And, you know, in the aftermath of the state legislature and all the things that are happening at the federal level, it's easy to get confused these days. But we have a person who is very knowledgeable about all of these things. And I want to welcome to our program Chris Winterode, who is the Bureau Chief, and I'm going to let her explain what Bureau it is, because it's got a number of different acronyms to it, and it looks like a pretty comprehensive Bureau. So welcome, Chris.
Hi, Larry.
Great to have you on board again and see your smiling face. I always feel that when we're in the presence of people from the Aging and Long-Term Services Department, that these are real allies of New Mexico's citizens, because I was just telling her before the program that I get nothing but compliments for the Aging Long-Term Services Department, because in giving out information, they don't ever come to a situation where they say, well, that's really not my program and it's not my responsibility and I'm going to leave it at that and you're sort of on your own. It's let me help you get through this complex of government agencies, some that overlap in a few areas or have to coordinate with others. But I receive almost universal satisfaction and happiness on the part of people who contact somebody in the Aging Long-Term Services Department and get answers and get pointed in the right direction. And oftentimes, it's not really something that's even the Aging Long-Term Services Department's responsibility, but because they know the way it works and how to help people get through it, they are very persistent in making sure that nobody falls through the cracks and doesn't leave in their experiences with the state with the feeling that, well, they just passed the buck on to somebody else, you know?
Well, that is so great to hear, Larry. I really appreciate that. It really, really is our commitment when we talk to people to meet them where they're at and help them at least figure out the best pathway to get where they need to go. When I first started working at the Aging and Long-Term Services Department, I started in the Aging and Disability Resource Center as an options counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my goodness, you know, that was the first time I'd had a role where I was part of the safety net.
Mm-hmm.
And from that moment on, it has been my goal to tighten up the safety net, because there's lots of resources out there, but if you don't know about them,
that's right,
you're not going to be able to get help from them. So the better the connections that we all have with each other,
mm-hmm,
the better that safety net is going to work for people. And so we really do try to help people through their next steps, even if it's not directly related to the specific program, mm-hmm, because everybody has
some stake in it.
Well, and nobody has just one problem.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, the more we can do to help as many of the person's areas of need as possible, the better off they're going to be.
Well, Chris, what you say is so true. And let's look at an example of it. You know, what's of great concern to everyone, and of course to those of us here at KSWV radio, is the issue of healthcare and access to healthcare. And let's remind our listeners that, for example, the Medicare program, which is looks very much like an insurance program for elderly and disabled people, is administered by the federal government, you know, and that's, and so people who are elderly or who have been determined to be disabled because of some health condition and so forth, they have to work with the federal government in terms of the coverage that they receive through Medicare. Medicaid, on the other hand, is both a federal and state program. You know, it's administered by the healthcare authority here in New Mexico, but funded by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in the federal government. In New Mexico, we have a very favorable match rate with the program because we are such a poor state and generally have rank fairly low in per capita income in comparison with the other states, but it's about 73% to 27% federal to state dollars that administers that. But in order to get your Medicare service, Medicaid services rather, you have to go through the healthcare authority and their income support division, which is the eligibility arm of that state government agency, not the federal government. And then you start throwing in such things as Indian Health Services, Veterans Administration, which provides health care to our veteran population. And it gets very complex, and people, it's no wonder their heads are spinning and saying, I don't know precisely who I should be talking to.
Well, Larry, you lead right into my first little bit of alphabet soup.
Good.
On my bureau chief title. One of the programs that that I'm in charge of in the Consumer and Elder Rights Division is the State Health Insurance Assistance Program, or SHIP. Mm-hmm. And our slogan in SHIP is that we help people navigate Medicare. Because you're right, it can be a really overwhelming bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that tied to the federal government, a lot of times people get worried.
Yes.
So we have what are called SHIP coordinators. One is located in each region of the state. And they are out there in your communities statewide all the time doing outreach. That is their primary function, is to do outreach throughout the state. And we're really there to provide that personal connection, mm-hmm. to help make that bureaucracy and understanding Medicare less intimidating and overwhelming. So for people who are just starting out on Medicare and aren't sure what to do, they're trying to understand all the complexity of Medicare, A, B, C, D, mm-hmm. alphabet soup. we are here for you. We don't endorse or sell any insurance, mm-hmm. right? So we don't, you are our pony in mm-hmm. this race here. So we can help people understand not only how whatever they choose for their Medicare coverage will work for them, but its implications for their future care down the road, because mm-hmm. those initial decisions with what type of Medicare you choose can have a long-lasting impact. Mm-hmm. And also, if you're out there and you've had Medicare and you just want to understand it better, or you're having some kind of issue that you're having trouble getting what you need, those are the kinds of things that our SHIP program is there to help you navigate in terms mm-hmm. of your Medicare coverage. And we are so happy to help people. Mm-hmm. It can make such a difference just to feel confident.
Yeah.
About your coverage.
Well, you know, Chris, what you say is so true, because I was thinking as you were talking, you and I had been sort of chatting before we started the broadcast about how there are differences in terms of what's covered under the various programs. But let's take a look at Medicaid in the healthcare authority. People are confused when they hear, well, what is turquoise care and what does that have to do with my needs? And what Turquoise Care is sort of healthcare authority's managed care program, which they contract with four different managed care providers in the state, which either you voluntarily enroll in that plan or are assigned to that plan through an algorithm that the healthcare authority puts in place. And then, but when that happens, then you have to follow the rules of those various plans and
right.
in order to get your services. But see, there's a further complication. Turquoise care, what is that and what does it mean? And it's really the latest iteration of what is a waiver enabled
centennial care
and Medicaid salute.
Right. It's been, you know, that's why we have job security, because they changed the name and everybody's all confused again. But we are here to help you sort that out.
Yeah.
One of the things we hear about often in the Aging and Disability Resource Center is people who have had turquoise care, have had that full Medicaid benefit, and then become eligible for Medicare. So people can't have both full Medicaid and Medicare at the same time, because those are both full insurance programs. So once you turn 65 or start Medicare because you've gone on disability, you've had disability for 24 months and you're now eligible for Medicare, then your Medicaid is going to automatically stop and you're going to get Medicare. And if you need help navigating that transition, because it can be very difficult for people, again, the Aging and Disability Resource Center is the place to start. You can reach them at the call center. It's 1-800-432-2080. And they will give you the information you need. And if it gets a little complicated, then they'll refer you to one of our SHIP counselors that we were talking about before that'll provide more in-depth assistance with navigating your situation. One of the issues people run up against is if they've been on full Medicaid and had a caregiver, Medicare doesn't pay for in-home caregiving.
Right.
So at that point, the person needs to apply for the home and community-based waiver. The ADRC is the only starting point for that. So again, that number is 1-800-432-2080. If you find yourself going, they said my Medicaid is ended and now I have Medicare, how do I pay my caregiver?
Right.
You need to call the ADRC at 1-800-432-2080 and they will get you registered for that program. If that's your situation, make sure when you're talking with them that you mention that you had a caregiver with your full Medicaid, and that will be part of your registration process. Another part of Medicaid that really impacts people with Medicare is the partial Medicaid program called the Medicare Savings Program. One of the things, I talk to people all the time when I'm talking about the Medicare Savings Program or MSP benefits, and they say, well, I applied and all I got was family planning. They get really crabby about it.
Right.
And I don't blame them a bit.
And these are elderly people.
Right. Well, so the main thing that happens is people just apply for the wrong benefit. They apply for Medicaid when what they need to do is scroll a little bit further down that application and apply for the Medicare Savings Program. And that benefit, you may also, there's three levels of the Medicare Savings Program. QMB, or Qualified Medicare Beneficiary, is one of them. It pays not only the Medicare Part B premium, which is $203 these days.
That's a month.
A month coming out of your check. Everybody could use an extra $200 a month. But if you qualify for QMB, it also pays your co-pays and co-insurances.
Yeah, and that usually is about 20% of what bill charges are.
Well, I'm getting physical therapy right now because I had a broken ankle, and that's $45 a pop.
That's right.
You know, that wouldn't be terrible to have somebody else pay that for me.
Right.
So, yeah, it can make a big difference in stretching those fixed income dollars for people. So
in that case, half the battle is applying for the right benefit.
Applying for the right benefit. And again, we're back to how our SHIP program can help people navigate the system, right? You know, tighten up that safety net so that you don't get frustrated and fall through the cracks because of a simple misunderstanding.
Right. And then now there's a second acronym that goes along with your bureau.
Yes. So we are really We're the Medicare specialists for the state. So the SHIP program helps people with that basic information and education about Medicare. The next program is our Senior Medicare Patrol, and this is the program that educates people and helps people prevent Medicare fraud. And Medicare fraud of all sorts is a big issue. It's across the country and certainly for our elders here in New Mexico.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm glad that there is a unit that addresses this issue, because I recall numerous calls from individuals in the many years we've been doing Health Potatolos, in which they said, you know, well, I had somebody call me up and they were giving me a free leg brace, even though I didn't need it, but they were giving me a free leg brace because just, I guess, out of the goodness of their hearts is what they said.
All right.
And then that's when we realized, no, this is one of the ways the scammers are trying to get in. If they give you something, they then turn around and want some information on your Medicare account so they can turn around and bill Medicare for services that may or may not be delivered, or it may or may not even be necessary if they are delivered.
Right. You know? That is one of the
classic ones.
Classic. It's an oldie but a goodie, Larry, and it hasn't stopped. It still goes on. We still get reports of this. It's especially, I think, sneaky because oftentimes the person with Medicare doesn't see a bill.
Right.
So what these kinds of frauds are doing is they're draining the Medicare trust fund and making Medicare less stable for everyone. Yeah. So it's really important to catch those when we can. But the other thing that happens with these is it does impact the Medicare beneficiary directly, because say they sent you a knee brace that you didn't need. But you're like, okay.
Yeah, I may need it.
And then in a couple of years, you actually need a knee brace, a different one.
Right.
You can't get it. Medicare won't pay for it.
Yeah.
Because you used that benefit. And so it can really impact people's ability to get what they need down the line, and they may not even remember.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing that can be done about it at that point. This is so weird, Larry. One of the most expensive Medicare frauds that's happening here in New Mexico, we've had a number of these cases and across the country, is urinary catheter fraud.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. So this is somehow somebody's already gotten a hold of your Medicare ID. And people who are savvy and are reviewing their explanation of benefits or their Medicare summary notices to see what's being charged every month or quarterly
on my behalf,
they'll be like, "What's this $14,000 in urinary catheter charges? I don't have a urinary catheter. What's up with that?" And so it's a huge one that's really having a big impact on the Medicare bottom line nationally. And again, it doesn't directly take any money out of the Medicare beneficiary's pocket, but it has a huge impact.
It's taking it out of the program.
And
we read the headlines that, and I think there are some realities that we probably have to face when it comes to Medicare. The population's getting older and living longer, and there are more people getting benefits from the program than was the case before, when there were large numbers paying into the program, because we've seen a sort of stagnant population in many of the states in the country.
Right.
And the fastest growing sector of the population in the United States is the elderly population, you know, so, so there are real concerns about the sufficiency of resources to be able to keep providing these services.
Well, and you know, the cost for Medicare is going up every year.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I just wanted to give everybody kind of a heads up. One of the things when we're going out there and giving our SMP or Senior Medicare Patrol information about Medicare fraud is we always tell people Medicare is not sending out new cards, because the new Medicare card, mm-hmm. where somebody calls you on the phone and says, oh, we are going to send you a new plastic Medicare card and I just need to verify your Medicare number,
right.
That's a classic technique for them to get a hold of that Medicare ID so they can then do those other frauds that maybe you'll catch and maybe you won't.
Right.
Well, right now, Larry, they're actually sending out new Medicare cards to 1.6 million people across the country. Some of those people are going to be here in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we don't know which ones. So I just want people to kind of be aware of that and to be watching their mail
mm-hmm.
for a letter from Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, CMS or Medicare, because if you are one of those people who's getting a new Medicare card, you'll get a letter
mm-hmm.
and then you'll get a second letter with the actual card in it. And I think it's very possible that a lot of people aren't going to find out that they got a new Medicare card
mm-hmm.
until they go to the doctor
and try to use the current one they've got.
And learn that the current one isn't good anymore.
Uh-huh.
So if that happens to you, you can call us at the Aging and Disability Resource Center at 1-800-432-2080. And we'll help you sort that out. The big red flag with fraud, really, mm-hmm. is if somebody calls you, it's probably fraud.
Yeah.
So if somebody calls you certainly and asks for your Medicare ID or wants to verify something, you
don't give it to them.
You're going to want to hang up on that person. Don't. I really think that for our elderly population, for our senior population, politeness.
Mm-hmm.
is their worst enemy.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to just be rude.
And say, I don't think this is above board or
that's right.
think whatever, but or I have to go. I'm sorry, I don't have time to talk with you.
Right.
And do
actually,
it that way.
The very best thing to do, Larry, is not say anything at all.
Just hang up. Yeah.
Because some of these scammers are really good at, they'll actually capture your voice.
Record it.
You don't want to say yes.
Right.
Ever. Is this Miss Sanchez? Yes.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Right.
Because they'll capture that and then use it. So
to say that they did purchase what I was selling or whatever.
Right. And so I don't want any of you out there to be worried or scared about this. Mm-hmm. What I want you to be is forewarned and forearmed.
That's very
so good. That you know how to protect yourself and you know some of the good habits that will keep your information safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, don't be afraid to be rude.
Yeah.
You earned it.
You paid a lot of money into it.
That's right. Well, I personally, Larry, am fully planning to be a cranky old lady. I'll just be like, no, and hang up.
Because I know you, I'm finding that hard to believe because I cannot see you be cranky. And you certainly don't look old, but...
You're very kind. I'm actually... looking at retirement, Larry, and this is going to lead into the next thing that I wanted to talk about here today, which is volunteering.
Right.
There's lots of studies out there, but even beyond that, watching the people in my own life who've retired, I've noticed that the ones that are happiest, the ones that are getting the most satisfaction, the most joy out of their retirement are the ones who are connected.
And doing something.
And doing something in their community. So we have so many wonderful opportunities to connect people in the Aging and Long-Term Services Department. If you are feeling like maybe there's a little something that you wish you could do, you just feel like maybe something's missing or that you could do more if you had the right opportunity, you might want to take a look at the opportunities we have available at the Aging and Long-Term Services Department. You can, of course, call the Aging and Disability Resource Center at 1-800-432-2080.
Which, by the way, thank you so much for continuing to repeat that, Chris, because people are going to have that number memorized.
That's right. My goal, whenever I'm done talking, is that people are going to remember that number.
Yeah.
Also, through our website, there's an application where you can... you have an opportunity to say what you're interested in. So, of course, our SHIP and SMP programs, we rely on volunteers because we are a small but mighty crew covering the entire state of New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And as you can imagine, there's way more need for the information than that we have to offer than there is people to get it out there. Mm-hmm. So our program, our volunteer slogan is Your Medicare Experience Matters.
Mm-hmm.
Really, as we were talking about before, just the fact that people can who have experience, who know something about Medicare, can help make it less overwhelming and intimidating for their friends and neighbors. We have lots of training. But we also have multiple levels so that you can connect with, get the Medicare information and knowledge at the level you're comfortable with, and then help connect, be a bridge in your community between our programs and the people who really need more information about Medicare and fraud, helping protect people against fraud. Maybe you've had some experience. Maybe you've had a close call or even been a victim of fraud and would like to give back and help protect the people in your community.
So others don't have the same bad experience you may have had.
Exactly. And it's hard to trust people.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm. Which is why our volunteers who know their communities so well can really oftentimes provide better service even than our paid staff because they have that special relationship and already have the trust and can help people connect with the trusted resource because sometimes it's hard. That's a hard commodity to earn.
Yeah. Well, you know, Chris, I cannot compliment you enough and your department for such a well-reasoned approach. You know, what you're basically doing is you're recognizing that there are some members in our communities who are so well connected with everyone else that they're the people that a lot of the individuals who don't understand what's going on will go to seek some help because they don't understand. And as we've said before, in many ways, the workings of government seem to be like a great big mystery in a box that none of us fully understands. Because I remember, I'll share this story, when Bruce Weidemeyer was the director of the Medicaid program and I was his deputy, I was leaving to go to the Department of Health. And I told him, I said, you know, I've been with Medicaid for 8 years and I sort of hate to be leaving now because I'm beginning to feel like I fully am getting a better understanding of it. And he says, well, Larry, don't feel bad. I've been here 17 years and I haven't reached that stage yet myself. So these are people, those of us who had jobs and working in it had difficulty. So you can imagine what the poor individual out there who has no government experience is feeling in terms of frustration because they cannot understand fully what they need to know in order to gain their benefits.
Right. Well, what we like to tell our potential volunteers is you don't have to be an expert. You just have to know an expert.
That's right.
Right. The other part of our slogan is be a neighbor who makes a difference. Right? And I think that just ties right in with what you were saying. And that applies to all of the volunteer programs that are available for people to take a look at to find the right fit for them in the Aging and Long-Term Services Department. So if you like to get nerdy or you have had some Medicare experience or experience with fraud and you want to get back to your community in that regard, then the SHIP or SMP program would be a great fit for you. If One of the other programs is the Ombudsman Program.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Where they're looking to get people to visit assisted living facilities and skilled nursing facilities to be advocates for the residents there. Mm-hmm. If that seems like it's more up your alley, that is a fantastic opportunity to really connect and make a difference in the lives of people who may not have anybody else. Oftentimes, people in those facilities don't have a lot of family around. And we know that people who don't have anyone to advocate for them sometimes suffer.
Right. Well, you know, when my parents had to go through some rehab at one of these facilities, I remember visiting them on a daily basis. And I got to know the other patients. I got to know the relatives of patients who went often to see their relatives there also. And we had a sort of network. It was really kind of nice. But what I always felt very much concerned about were the poor patients that never got visited by anyone and were sitting in a corner in a wheelchair and just having no interactions with others. And they seem sort of lost. And I think that's what you're talking about when you say, you know, they suffer if they're in a situation like
right.
that.
Well, and if there's some issue with their care and they don't have anyone to stand up for them.
They're on their own right. and they don't have the equipment or the skills necessary to exactly. be able to address it.
Well, you know, Larry, if you start to get bored in your own retirement, you know where to find us.
Well, I'm going to say this, Chris, you are a treasure to the state of New Mexico, because I think when you retire, you'll still be very active and involved, because it's so clear that you have a passion for this work, and it's clearly translated to your other fellow staff members that we've had on the program.
Well, I'm going to try not to be as busy as you, Larry, but I don't expect to be bored either. That's for sure.
Well, but I think the state of New Mexico will benefit greatly from whatever level of involvement you've got, because you've got such a great understanding and a real skill in terms of making things understandable to those of us who don't have the same skill level that you've got. So.
Well, you know, we are all about connection, Larry. We're about making connections with people and helping people connect with the programs that improve their lives.
Yeah. Well, as I said before, Aging Long-Term Services Department has just sort of led the way. They've written the book on communicating with our citizenry, and that is such an important part of making government a body that is working for the people, you know, and serving them. So any last closing thoughts as we come to the end of this segment of Health Para Todos that you'd like to impart?
Well, you know, Larry, aging is undiscovered territory. Mm-hmm. There is something new around every bend. Sometimes it's wonderful. Maybe you have an opportunity to, you have a little bit of energy and some time, and you want to make a new connection with your community in one of our volunteer programs. Maybe it's a little bit less wonderful and you need some help finding resources or getting assistance with an issue that you're having with your medical needs. And in all of those cases, the Aging and Long-Term Services Department, the Aging and Disability Resource Center, and our SHIP and SMP programs are there for you.
That's wonderful. That's really wonderful to hear. It's wonderful, again, to visit with you and be reminded of what a great role the Aging Long-Term Services Department is playing. I'm a little biased towards this department because I guess so many of my former colleagues are working there, and these are personal friends of mine. But it's also just a great department, and the service you're providing to the citizens of our state just wonderful. And I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on our program, and again remind our listeners of where they can go in order to get information and help. And we'll repeat one more time the number for the Aging and Disability Resource Center.
That is 1-800-432-2080.
Thank you so much, and continue the good work, and well, and let us know when you are going to retire so that we can get together and celebrate that and make sure that we stay in touch with each other.
Thanks, okay. Larry. It's a pleasure and a privilege.
Well, thank you so much. And let me remind our listeners that this has been Health Para Todos, a special edition brought to you by Krista St. Vincent Regional Medical Center and the Conalma Foundation. And as our guest, we had Chris Winterode of the who is a bureau chief, and I won't repeat all the acronyms in the bureau title, but for the New Mexico Aging and Long-Term Services Department. And thank you so much for the wonderful information you've imparted to our listening audience.
Thanks.
Thank you. Larry.